that nothing would be more encouraging than to hear the pastor's going to speak a brief message. I can't even imagine. When he said that, I thought some of you were going to go like, yes! Lord, bless these thoughts, and thank you for the great privilege of being together with a wonderful body of believers this morning. So speak to our hearts now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you want to, open your Bible to Joshua, the third chapter this morning. And I think you're all familiar with the background here. Moses had brought the children of Israel to the brink of the promised land, but would not lead them into the land. That would fall to the responsibility of Joshua, who would take the children of Israel and bring them into the land, and the conquests of the land would begin, and then the children of Israel would begin to inherit their inheritance. So in this third chapter, I'll begin reading in verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning. The children of Israel moved from Shittim to Jordan, came to the Jordan River, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over the Jordan River. Came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, now notice this carefully, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, your God, of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. Now, think about the children of Israel. Try to put yourselves in their sandals. After 40 years of wilderness wandering, 40 years living like nomads, and believe me, that was a frustrating journey. We know because we read about it in the scriptures. And I might have shared this with you before, but by some scholars' estimates, because of an entire generation passing away during those 40 years in the wilderness, he suggested that the children of Israel probably had a funeral every 20 minutes. Can you imagine that? A whole nation perished in the wilderness. A whole generation of Israelites. So it was frustrating. It was overwhelming. Israel was now on her way home, but they were not quite there yet. Couldn't we say the same thing about our lives? Are we not on our way home? We are. We're not there yet, but we're on our way. And I like the story of the young boy who, after playing all day with his friends, and the darkness set in, and everybody had to go home, all the young boys, after playing ball or just being together and having an afternoon together and an early evening, everybody heads home. But this one young boy, I like it. Everybody else would walk down the sidewalks, the well-lit streets. But this young boy, every time he would go home, he would get to his house by cutting through the cemetery. Finally, one night, one of his friends just said, hey, you know, why do you go home that way? You could go home along the same path, relatively speaking, that we take to go home. Why do you have to go through the cemetery? Aren't you scared? Doesn't that trouble you? Don't you get frightened? And he just kind of looked back at his friends. He goes, no, it's the quickest way home. So the cemetery will be for us as well. It's just going to be the quickest way home. When we leave here, we're going to go to our forever home. We're going to make our way to our forwarding address. And we'll be there for all of eternity. So the children of Israel, almost home. But the next steps that they take before getting there are absolutely crucial. There's just a couple of them we want to mention this morning. Number one, the first step. They had to fight to keep their focus on the ark of the Lord their God. Now notice what the instructions were. God told them specifically, tell the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant. They would bear it. and they would go ahead of the people. Now you say, how much, what was the distance that they were to go ahead of the people? It was probably about 10 football fields long, right? What's that, 1,000 yards? 1,000 yards, the Ark of the Covenant was to stay out ahead of the children of Israel. It's almost like God set this moving target out there in front of them, in the distance, and then said to them, don't lose sight of it. Don't take your eyes off of it. In other words, they really had to focus on the Ark of the Covenant. And another way of saying that is that they really had to focus on the presence of God. And couldn't the same thing be said about our journey? And don't you sense that you have to fight to maintain your focus in this life? Are there not many distractions that are always seeking to take us off that path? Are there not many things that are vying for our attention? Look over here. Let us entertain you over here. We have something to stimulate you over here. You can sublimate over here. And what is God saying to us throughout the course of our lives? Fight to maintain your focus on the presence of God. Or if you will, as Paul said it when he wrote to the Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. What happens when we stop looking unto Jesus? I mean, possibly anything could happen. We can find ourselves getting so easily distracted in this life. There are people that try to pull us off this path. There are responsibilities that try to imply that they are more important than our focus and the attention that we should be giving to Jesus. But God said to the children of Israel, you're going to have to fight to maintain your focus. Think about it. If they didn't maintain that focus, they wouldn't get to the finish line. It's kind of like a runner running a race. Imagine running a race and then, you know, just believing that you are on the right path, but maybe you take a left when you should have taken a right. You know, we've all seen those races where it looks like the bicyclist or the runner is going to go in a certain direction, and somebody says, no, that way, they point to them. Because they could have easily taken a wrong turn. Oh, it is, you know, I just think of that hymn that describes our souls so perfectly. It goes like this, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that the truth? Is that not in our hearts? Are we not like sheep that so easily, so quickly go astray? And God said to the children of Israel, much like he says to you and I, you must fight to maintain your focus. Focus high. I could just imagine some of the children of Israel, 10 football fields ahead of them, like, you know, squinting, looking. It's up there, I see it. Seems like it's moving to the left. Let's stay on track. Let's stay on course. Let's not get distracted. Let's not get preoccupied with something that's happening over here or something happening over there. Fight for your focus. And it's almost as if the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, had to be spotted in the midst of everything else that can be seen. And we too must fight to maintain our focus, because there's so many things that appears before our what? Our eyes, right? Do you ever spend too much time watching television and think to yourself, even in a moment like, you know, I could be reading my Bible. I could be praying for the needs of others. I could be reaching out, making a phone call to someone who needs a word of encouragement. But sometimes it's just like the TV's got my focus. And I have ultimate control because I have the remote control, right? And it's like, that's my world. That's my universe. You know, God says, listen, you've got to be so careful, because we cannot afford to lose sight of him in the midst of the crowded world that we live in. Fight to maintain your focus. And then the second thing is this, because by the way, that gaze matters the most in life. Seeing him matters the most in life. There is nothing more important than seeing him and seeing him as clearly as we possibly can. Who doesn't want to see Jesus more clearly, right? Who doesn't want to draw closer to him in their faith? We all do, and we know it matters most. The second thing was this, to get back to that whole point of what? 10 football fields. What was that all about? Was that God's way of saying, hey, I know what you're like. Keep your distance. I'm holy. You're sinful. You can't get too close to me. No. Was he impersonal? Didn't want the intimacy of a relationship with his people? No. Did he want to instill fear into the hearts of the children of Israel? No. You say, well, what's the deal with the distance? Simple. It's God's way of saying, I love to lead my people. And if I'm not out in front of them, I won't be able to lead them. Real simple. Of course he is. Thank God he is not behind us. Thank God he is not way over there to the left or to the right. He is out in front of us so that he can be clearly seen, so that our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, can be fixed upon him. That's all it was. And the need to develop our faith is so crucial as we continue to follow him. Because, you know, Jephthah, sometimes the children of Israel are a lot like us. As soon as we think we know where we're going in life, the tendency is to say, I don't need to trust God, right? We're all like that. That happens to me all the time, you know? I'm not big. I mean, I'm a guy, so guys, you know what we love? We love directions, you know? Just tell me how to get to so-and-so, right? Our wife may be sitting in the front seat, and somebody, I'm kind of lost. I ask a guy for directions. He tells me, she goes, my wife's like, do you want to write that? No. I got it. Tell me again. Don't be quiet. Tell me again. He tells me. And then, of course, I leave, and then I get completely lost. Say, how do you know you're lost? Because she immediately reminds me. Should have wrote it down, Einstein. But sometimes what I do, if I'm a little bit concerned, I use the GPS. But this is my habit. I use the GPS to a certain point. Then I think I've got it from there. So the other night I was visiting a friend of mine after church in Baltimore. I went over to his house. He had taped a hockey game. We were going to watch it together. But he's in Baltimore City. He's in the county, and I really don't. I'm not that familiar with that area, so I used the GPS, but only for a couple of streets until I said, I got this. I shut that GPS off, and I got lost for the next half hour. Sometimes that's the way it is when we walk with God. We think we know where we're going. We think we've got it. But again, God says it is imperative that you keep me out in front of you, so that you can see me, so that I can lead you, because he loves to lead his people. He doesn't want us to go astray. He doesn't want us to wander off the path. He wants us to be able to have our eyes stayed upon him, because not only are we seeing him and he's guiding and directing our paths, but what? When we see him in that way, we have perfect peace. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And then the last thought, think about this. Timing matters in our lives. What were the instructions given to the children of Israel? Only move when the ark moves. If God's not moving, then we should be still. If God says it's time to move, then we should be following. You know, that's a call to what? Great awareness, great sensitivity. Because all of us, we long to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit longs to lead all of us. And it's important that we develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, because this I can assure you of, the Holy Spirit will never lead the same two people exactly the same way. He is not going to lead you like he's going to lead me. Because if that were the case, we would not have to look to Christ. We would not have to keep our hearts and minds fixed on him, we would not need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I would just look at you and do what you do. But God says, no, I'll never lead any of my people exactly the same way. You will be led down a different path. I will be led, and because we have different strengths, different abilities, different ways in which we glorify God, and God wants to use them all, but he never does it exactly the same way. So timing matters. You move when God moves. And this is the way God wants us to do life. Looking to him. That gaze, seeing him, all important. The distance, not because he wants to be a God distanced from his people, but he wants to be out there in front of us so that we can keep seeing him. And then the timing. He moves. Sometimes, you know what we do? We have a tendency, I do anyhow, and you're probably like me in one sense, that you have a sinful nature. We all have that. But sometimes we say, God, you know, I know you have a plan, but I have a plan. God says, yes, my plan is better than your plan, and you should do everything you can to find your way into my plan. But what we do is we try to reverse that. God, I have a plan, and I'm going to try to find a way to fit you into my plan. And God says, it doesn't work that way. But sometimes he's so patient with us, so gracious to us, that what he'll say is, okay, we'll do it your way. And then we wrap ourselves around a pole, and then God comes along and says, let's try my way. You'll like it much better. It will lead to prosperity, to good success, to blessing, to peace, to joy. So he told the children of Israel, yes, you keep that gaze because it matters the most. You're talking about a multitude of people. They all had to keep their gaze on the presence of God. That gaze matters the most. No doubt about it. Keep the distance. Why? Just keep him out in front of you. Don't lose sight of him. Don't run ahead of the plan or the will of God for your life. Just keep him out in front. He says, time to stop. We say, it's time to stop. He says, it's time to rest. We say, it's time to rest. God says, it's time to reflect. We say, it's time to reflect. Then God might say, it's time to get up and get moving. And we say, it's time to get up and get moving. We take our cues from God, not this world. And if they follow these instructions, which they did, they would be brought to a place where they could inherit their inheritance. Amen. I promised to keep it short, and I did. Father, bless these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen.